listening to Fresh Take.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Hey, listen.
Here we go.
Welcome to Electronic Enhancement. Joshua Adam Lamar with the talented, sexy, the dangerous, the Devonier. He is in an open world Star Wars adventure. It's Devin Seal.
I really thought you were going to say I was in an open relationship, and then I didn't know how you're going to finish that. So,
no. So, Summer Games
guess what?
Day.
Guess yep. what? I got hot takes on this.
On the Star Wars?
Maybe other things, but mostly okay. Star Wars, yeah.
Okay, I was going to leave with MK first, but let's go to Star Wars.
No. Well, I mean, hey, Mortal Kombat's like your baby. I love when you do a Mortal Kombat minute because I always learn something, then immediately
MK
forget it
minute,
afterwards.
Baby. MK Mike, as Donkey likes to say.
Okay.
What up, guys? It's me, MK Mike.
Do you want me to say my thing, or do you just want to keep rambling?
Yeah, you go.
Rambling?
You go.
I might not buy Star Wars.
Explain.
This
nothing. Not Jedi Survivor, though. You're getting Jedi Survivor.
I'm on the fence about not buying Jedi Survivor right now, too. I am not critiquing the absolute fantasticness of the trailer and the 10-minute gameplay presentation we got.
Mm-hmm.
Far from it. Though they look like that is exactly how Star Wars is supposed to look, how it's supposed to feel. Star Wars cinematics are probably one of my three or four favorite things to watch on YouTube, period, because they get it. They're always so good. I think I've just evolved past the idea of a third or first person cover shooter that is basically Red Dead Redemption or Uncharted, but with Star Wars on it. I have played dozens and dozens of open world games from different franchises that all play the same. And I do not feel like I'm going to play a game that I've never played before with the Star Wars game.
Right.
If I've played Uncharted, all the Uncharteds, and platinum them all, and I've played every other cover shooter imaginable, this game will not play any different. It sounds different. It looks different, but it doesn't feel different. Mm-hmm. And with that, why would I invest 60 to 80 hours in a game that I've already played 5 to 7 to 10 different times? But I still want to watch it. I want to know what happens. I want to watch the cutscenes. I want to know who the characters are. I just don't really want to jump on the back of an on-rails part where you're on a speeder slowing down time to shoot people off of their horses, or in this case, they're speeders, to get to the other town to accept a mission to go shoot some guys.
I can respect that.
I'm really interested in the game. I really want to know who this character is. I want to know if there's going to be cameos. I want to know if I know there's no Jedi in it, but I want to know if people are like, we see the pikes in it, which is really cool. We saw, we saw pieces of TIE fighters and A-wings.
I thought when I saw the dogfight stuff, I thought like that was where you'd want to be.
I've already played dogfight games. Like we played Battlefront. I played Crimson Skies. And just at the point now, like, I want to play all these games, or I want to know what happens in all these games, but I don't necessarily want to play them if it's going to be like I've just played this other game before. Right. And so I really want to find new and interest. That's why I've kind of been drawn to indie games lately, like partly because of the price, but partly because of the fact that they try to make a different type of gaming experience as an experiment. Like, yeah. the idea of Super Hot, that game where you have to actually, if you stop moving, the game stops and you have to like slow down, go around bullets and stuff, hasn't really been duplicated again. That's a one of one.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Red Dead Redemptions. They're not all as good as Red Dead Redemption, but there's a lot of them. There's a lot of like, go to the tower to unlock the map, to get all the things on your map, to go collect all the question marks, to go get the Riddler trophies in Batman, to go get the flowers in Horizon Zero Dawn, to then level up your character with experience points so that you can throw your Batarang further or shoot your arrows farther. And then you kill some, you know, 100 AI in this one camp, and then you take it over, and then you get to go to travel there.
Well, on that point, why am I playing Deathloop right now, Devin?
Well, from what I understand about Deathloop, it's a really, really interesting mechanic.
But it's also a Bioshock clone.
It's also Bioshock.
Yeah.
Well, so I do like the idea, and you'll have to, as you play more of it, I love the idea of like resetting time and different things happening at different times.
It definitely messes with your mind, the first little bit I played with it. But you're not wrong. I mean, even like I am kind of over the open world games. Like there is stuff in Jedi Survivor, which I'm going to talk about these gameplay stats in a bit, because it's one of the reasons I want to do this show today. But there's points like, yeah, you can still do this, this, and this. I'm like, I just kind of want to go on the mission. Tell me what I got to do and then do it.
Yeah.
Like Last of Us, I would say, is open world, but it's not. Like, I think that's the thing with the Naughty Dog stuff, is it immerses you.
It's linear. It's a linear story-driven narrative game. Like there's no two ways around it. There's basically, there's only one place to go, but there's two or three paths in that level to get there.
Yeah, and I appreciate I can appreciate the open world idea. It's very, very cool, and it's nice to explore stuff, but
padding in a game.
I will get Star Wars Outworld. I will play it. But I think everything you said is true. I don't really have anything to really add or disagree with it. Like I saw it, I'm like, oh, this will be fun to play and stuff like that. But I do agree. I did see a lot of similar patterns to stuff on it. I actually was more interested, and I don't know what's happened. Well, I guess there's behind the scenes, there's a lot of really shitty things. But the creators of Heavy Rain and Detroit, that they had that Star Wars game.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen anything since the Games Award or E3. I can't remember where it was announced. I think it was Games Award on that game, Eclipse. And that's I was a little bit more interested in. But so far, nothing on that at all. So I was like, okay, well, cool. Like I enjoyed playing Jedi Survivor. And I'll do this and have fun with the dogfights and everything like that. But I mean, everything you said, you're not wrong.
Well,
and games are $90 right now, too. So to your point on the indie game side, an indie game, let's just say like Big Mode, the game they're doing with the animal game, Animal Well, right? Looks like a different game. The graphics are really interesting, really immersive. And that game is probably going to cost you $20 to $25, right? I just played Jedi Survivor. And yeah, I can explore and go around, blah, 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 blah. But it's going to cost me $90. And I'm going to be done with it like I was in 3 weeks to a month.
I'm trying to think of all the games that I should play or are on my list that I want to play. And so I really want to play. I want to play God of War 2. I want to play Ghostwire Tokyo. I want to play Horizon Zero Dawn. I want to play Jedi Survivor. Are you sensing a trend here?
Yeah.
They're all open world action games where you're going to press the X button to swing your weapon, A to jump. You have to go to these different lands, unlock the bases or whatever. And I realized that I'd be playing the same type of game for 4 or 5 games in a row. When it was like, wait a second, like in reality, I can watch Star Wars. I think of all of those games, Ghostwire Tokyo might be the most unique. The setting and the atmosphere and what you have to do. But if I had to choose between all those games that or Spider-Man even as well, throw that in there, go swinging around webs and do some.
Feel like Spider-Man.
The only game I truly, truly want to play of that whole list is God of War.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to be the kind of person that says, like, I don't want to play big games anymore. Or I don't want to play open world games. I just don't want to play so many of them. I don't want to have to go to places to then be to unlock fast travel. And like, that's kind of what I appreciated a game like Sekiro about a little bit, was it was a little more linear in turn, or it wasn't linear, but the box wasn't as big to play in. So you knew where to go, and you were forced, kind of like Shadow of the Colossus, you were facing bigger enemies more often than you were facing smaller enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of refreshing, because all the big enemies are relatively different from each other. But if I got to face hundreds and hundreds of nameless little blobs to get experience points, just to be able to face one boss every hour or two, like, I don't know. Like, I just don't know how I'm going to do that 5 games in a row to catch up on my backlog when I can play one of them and watch the other ones.
That's a fair point. So Star Wars Outworld, what do you guys think about it?
It looks great. It looks really, really cool. I just don't want to spend 50 hours on it.
Yeah, it looks fine. We'll see. Who's the developer of that again? Is it Bethesda, right?
That's Starfield.
Or is it Ubisoft? It's not Ubisoft, right?
Star Wars Outlaws. It's Ubisoft, so it's going to be busted when it comes out.
Yeah, I've never played an Ubisoft game before, so that'll be my first time playing one. And maybe we'll see it at Gamescom. I doubt it, but maybe we'll see it at Gamescom.
Because I know it's made by Massive and published by Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Massive Entertainment has done The Division, Division 2,
Division 3, Division 4, Division 5.
Yeah. Oh, they're also doing the Avatar Frontiers of Pandora game, which looks really fun, but exactly the same as Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah. Okay, these Jedi Survivor stats. So I'll kind of go through kind of what I did. So the most popular stance was single lightsaber, 31%. Then it was double wielded, then it was double bladed, then it was blaster, and then it was cross guard. What do you think my two saber choices were?
Dual wield.
Nope.
Okay. Blaster?
Blaster was one.
Yeah, because you just shoot people. And then double edge,
cross guard. So I went with the two least popular swords.
No wonder you're having such a hard time with that game.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Maybe I should. I saw all these games where people were doing double wield. I'm like, maybe I should have fucking had an easier time in this. Game difficulty, it seems everyone's kind of where I was. 52.5% of people did Jedi Knight, which I think is perfect, because it's just challenging enough. You're still getting your story. Actually, surprisingly enough, the second most one was story mode. So there is a lot of people that said, I just want to, you know, chop down some stormtroopers, and I just want to have a fun time and enjoy the story.
There's a really big pushback against the difficulty in video games lately after we're seeing a lot of Dark Souls stuff, and it's becoming more and more apparent now.
Yeah. I think some people just want to turn their mind off, and just, not that they want it to be easy, but they're just like, hey, you know, life is hard enough. I don't want to struggle with this. Yeah. I just want to just kind of like use the force against a stormtrooper and just have a little bit of fun. Rick, the door technician, I don't think I want to spoil that for you, so I will leave that alone. I'm not going to talk to you about that right now. 9,000 people have beaten the Rancor. That's pretty low, but I can safely say I am one of them.
Hey, congratulations.
Took me a fucking long time.
Yeah, I think people are just tired of like dying to the same person over and over and over again, and that's why they play on story mode.
The Holocaust rounds one, that is one of the most fun things in there.
Not the Holocaust, sorry. Not the Holocaust.
The Holotactics. Okay. So it's kind of like a chessboard, and you kind of like, you pick, like, you like have like a kind of an RPG in some ways. It's the closest I've kind of ever played to an RPG game, because I never played Final Fantasy or anything like that ever.
Right. Yeah.
So like you like pick, like it gives you like five picks. You pick like a flame trooper or an AT-AT or, you know, like whatever. And then you have the other person picks theirs and you see who wins in that battle. And I was like on like a 16 match win streak. And before I knew it, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So that was really fun. I had a good time with it. I'd give it a 9 out of 10 for Jedi Survivor.
Oh, definitely. But
I had to trade it in because it's $40 back and the game costs $90.
Yeah.
Like, I like buying digital versions. I really do. But the $90 game that I know I'm not going to go back to, I might as well beat it and get $40 back.
Okay. So my question to you is it worth $50?
It's probably worth $70.
Okay. It's awesome.
$90 is a lot for a game.
For a lot for a game, that's the other thing. Is like, I don't feel incentivized to play a game. Like, I don't, once I beat a game, because I usually get the platinum trophy, I never ever go back to.
Yeah. But like with this now, like the last game I bought digitally on my PlayStation 4 was Last of Us.
Yeah.
Which I will probably go back to. But I still haven't.
No, and I haven't either.
I will probably digitally buy Spider-Man because every once in a while you're just going to want to swing around.
Mm.
So there is still that. Like I still once in a while just went like, I just want to swing through New York just for like an hour. I'm not going to fight anybody. I'm just going to swing around.
Yeah, that part is really cool.
So there's that. Okay, let's run through a few other things here from Summer Games Fest. I'll let you talk about this one, Devin. Xbox did good.
Oh, I don't know, because they're getting they are you talking about Starfield?
No, like the overall showcase. People were like, oh, that was like the best Xbox showcase we've seen in years.
Is it because for once Xbox didn't shoot itself in the foot? I mean, it's probably.
And I think like, also because Sony's was pretty lackluster.
Yeah, Sony's seems to have kind of like, well, think of it this way. Like most of their big franchises, Last of Us 2, God of War, Uncharted, Ratchet and Clank are all in the off years right now.
Mm.
Rocks. And I, you know, the other thing is people are really, really just, they just want to know what Rockstar is doing.
Well, I think they, so people were happy to have Fable. Hellblade 2 got a lot of buzz as right, well. Right. So those were two big things. The Flight Simulator, people lost their mind for Flight Simulator 2024. Clockwork Revelation did really good, and same with South of Midnight. And then a new Forza as well.
Well, Forza has kind of taken the reins. Like Forza is what Gran Turismo used to be for a lot of people, right? So
yeah.
It seems like Xbox has really cornered the market on really cool driving simulations of various types. Like Forza Horizon is like the best racing game on the market right now. The you said the Flight Simulator is just like a really cool technology thing. So like there are, Xbox seems to be a really cool device if you're interested in very niche hobbies, or you're interested in just trying a lot of different things, because the Game Pass is amazing.
Here's a few. This is just some of my notes. The Prince of Persia game looks interesting.
Dude, that looks cool. And then I thought to myself, shit, because I haven't played as many AAA video games, all I've been doing is playing Metroidvania Zelda games like Death's Door and Tunic and Dead Cells and Hollow Knight. And I was like, why would I play friggin' and Metroid 2 or whatever on my 3DS? Like, why would I go play Prince of Persia? But damn, it looks good. It looks really, really good.
It's kind of cool to see that kind of get rejuvenated again and have that name out there.
If the combat is more than just one button, like if you can do combos and stuff, and it was a little more combo focused or like reaction focused, I would be interested in that game.
Sonic Superstars, I think Sega's got this done. I was like, okay, so we just do Sonic in 3D, but like the 90s. Cool, got it.
Yeah, people only want to play in three directions. That's
they just want to play a side scroller, play a platformer, yes. Sonic platformer, good graphics. We got it. We figured it out, guys.
Yeah, basically, that's the formula. If only we knew this 30 years ago.
You kind of mentioned it, Starfield, the presentation, the frame rate not being as good. People maybe got a little bit worried. Is this another No Man's Sky?
Well, and then people were like, oh, so this Todd, what's his name guy?
Todd Howard.
Yeah, people were like, oh, he always overpromises and underdelivers, and people are review bombing the game
already. He locked the frame rate, apparently.
Yeah, like if they're trying to do what they said they if they're trying if they're really trying to accomplish what they said they were, what they're what you know, what the promises is, I don't even know how you do 60 frames. Like, this seems like it's some of the, one of the most ambitious technological projects ever in a video game. People are like pissed off that it's like not cutting edge enough. Like, are you kidding me? Like, let's just see what the game's like first.
I mean,
if it comes out, if it comes out as a buggy mess, like just crucify them for sure. But if it like, you're right, you brought up a really good point, No Man's Sky. Yeah. But if it comes out and it's good, it's just not 60 frames a second. Are people really gonna like not buy it? No.
Well, you and I talked, I remember when No Man's Sky came out, you and I were so excited for it, and the reviews came out and they were just tanked. And I think that really hurt it.
Well, it did. Same thing
with Watch Dogs too, right? Watch Dogs had this really cool E3 presentation like No Man's Sky did, and then Watch Dogs did good enough, but I don't think it did good enough to bring people like you and I that had interest in it. And kind of like Starfield, they lied about the graphics.
Wow, you bring up a lot of really good points there.
Fire.
The No Man's Sky thing, though, was kind of like Battlefront, where for like a year, we were like really right. And then for whatever reason, they just kept working on that product and kept working on it. And now No Man's Sky, apparently, like I've watched, you know, they've done like reviews 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later. Apparently No Man's Sky is amazing right now. It is really close to the vision that they had set out for it. The problem is that, as you know, as we just mentioned, that taste in your mouth where like, wait a second, like this is kind of a weird thing. Like, why isn't this feel right? Why is this too good to be true? Well, it was.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of ask yourself, like, if they had taken an extra year to make this game, even though they delayed No Man's Sky dozens of times, and it came out as like an 8.5 or a 9 out of 10, and then got even better and better and better, people would be talking about it as one of the best games of all time.
The same thing that happened to Cyberpunk, and it's the same thing that happened to Battlefront. Both of them.
I will probably never guess what. I'll probably never play Cyberpunk.
And everything I've heard now, Cyberpunk runs fine and it's fantastic. On my PlayStation Plus, I have a chance to do the 5-hour demo trial. I don't give a shit.
Like
I'm over it.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard. It's hard to be a consumer because so many things come out, and our time is so valuable.
Yeah.
To us, it's viable to the people who make these products too. But like, I don't know, like if it doesn't hit, like it's the same thing like movies. Like sometimes like the best premises, the right actors, the right directors, like guess what? Sometimes it just doesn't work.
No.
Why? Sometimes it's because there was a flood in a certain city. I don't know. Like sometimes because one reviewer gave it a bad review. I don't know. Like sometimes it's because the star of the movie got divorced from the other star of the movie. Like, I don't know. It just is. Life's weird.
Speaking about actors, Nicolas Cage is Dead by Daylight. He's going to be in that, apparently.
Cool.
So that's interesting. What else do we have here? Alan Wake 2. I've never played Alan Wake 1. Apparently Donkey thinks he's the only one, but it looks really interesting.
Classic like Xbox 360 franchise up. So people are very happy to have that kind of come back.
We got a Spider-Man release date. So October 20th, 2023. My wallet's going to hurt in September and it's going to hurt in October as well. Nintendo Direct, you have a chance to bankrupt me if you announce Mario Odyssey out of nowhere for November.
That's why, like,
give me Odyssey too. Give me it.
It's coming up for the next console, man. I swear that's what they do. Like
that's my most anticipated. Well, it's that or the new the Judas, the Ken Levine game Judas. Those are probably my two most anticipated releases that we don't know anything about yet.
Fair enough.
But I think you're right. It's probably coming to the next console. But yeah, October 20th for Spidey. Notice.
And guess what? I will probably watch it. And you know what? Like, I love swinging around as Spider-Man. I did not love facing people like I was playing Arkham Asylum for the fourth time or fifth time because I played 4 Arkham Asylum games.
Something I can't talk about with Devin Ken, Call of Duty Season 4.
Started it. Well, I downloaded it today, so me and the boys will get together. Some major changes. So people are excited.
And then only one last thing to talk about. Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, I thought you already got your minute. Give me some more.
We talked about it. We went right into it. Well, we talked about your, you got your rant.
We talked about the movie. We talked about the movie.
Yes.
Okay. Give me what you got.
So very interesting with the story. We can see a lot more of that. The cameo characters are the most interesting. I'm not, and it seems like the MK community is not huge on it. They're mixed of the cameo character idea. Like, you can't do a 1v1 fight. You have to have a cameo character every single time.
Oh, okay. So I thought you meant, I thought you were talking about the DLC characters. I'm mistaken.
No, so there's these cameo characters. So you can pick Sub-Zero, for example, and then Sonya is your cameo character. So every once in a while, you can call her in, and she'll do like a move. I don't know the specifics if you even control them. I think they just come in and do a special move, and then they leave.
Like when you hit a certain button, they come in?
Yeah, like so for Kano, he's a cameo character, and he comes in and he like does his eye laser, for example. Right. And then he comes back. Yeah. Then he leaves, and then you're back to being Sub-Zero. Or whatever. These cameo characters do have fatalities, and it's all their classic fatalities. So Kano has the heart rip. Sonya has the fire kiss. Sub-Zero has a spine rip. So
do you get to fatalities. Pick your cameo person?
Yeah, you get to pick your cameo.
Okay, so it's not dependent on the character that you picked.
No, no. Okay. The one I love the most is the character Kenshi, who is a great character. He's telekinetic, but they have him in this one working for the Yakuza, and it seems like his story arc could be really, really rad. And we found out that there's going to be a Johnny Cage, one version of him will be voiced by Jean-Claude Van Damme, which is a nice full circle moment to everything.
That will be so cool.
So that'll be really, really cool. The fact the game's out in September already is really interesting. Ed Boon did a lot of press during
the summer. They usually do that though, right? They don't give you a long teaser.
No, I mean, when MK11 came out, that came out of nowhere at the Gaming Awards, if you remember. And then it was out for April. So that was like December, and it was out in April. And then they did the big, like, their own, like, kind of Mortal Kombat Direct. And that was in, like, late January, early February, from what I remember. And then they were, like, just pounding everything coming out. So you can expect in the next 2 weeks here, I'm sure, like, they'll be like, hey, this is the Johnny Cage profile and do all that. And hey, here's the new character that's announced. We have Baraka or whatever, right? So I'm assuming we'll get some of that. I don't know if Baraka is in the game, but there was a whole set of leaks for everything. And I told you, like, the Homelander one for DLC and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe Ed Boon's being cheeky. I don't know. But he said a lot of those leaks are false and there's new characters that weren't in the leak as well. And Ed Boon confirmed there's new characters. So I don't know what to believe anymore. And I think it's fun that the leaks may be not true and that we get to actually just kind of week by week see who the character reveals are and see who the cameo reveals are and kind of just get to take it in that way.
Okay, so the ones that you talked about, that we talked about a couple weeks ago, were Homelander,
Peacemaker, Omni-Man.
Give me a couple like spitballs, like, are people talking about someone that they wish there was included? Or like, if you could pick anybody in the whole world?
Right now, the DLC characters aren't talked about. It's more about the MK roster of stuff that people want. People really are clamoring for the 3D era. So that's like Deception, Armageddon, Deadly Alliance type of era, right? And that's kind of the era I dipped out of Mortal Kombat a little bit. Mortal Kombat 4 was just terrible. Go watch the video game Donkey review of it if you want to know how bad it is, because it's really not good. But that era kind of took me out of. I didn't jump back and buy a Mortal Kombat game until MK9, and it wasn't until a friend of the pod, Jermaine, brought over MK Armageddon that I started getting back into it again.
Right.
But I had a little bit of an absence from the franchise because I just wasn't huge on the some of the 3D games. I think I did get Deception, actually, so that's a lie. I did get Deception, but people just weren't thrilled with some of the game sold fine, but it wasn't until MK9 came out that people really bounced back. And Ed Boon talked about it in his conference and his interview with IGN of every game now since MK9, really Helix is the rebirth of Mortal Kombat. And ever since then, like, MK9 came out, did great sales. MK10 came out, doubled the sales. MK11 came out, doubled the sales, so he's wondering, expecting the same thing to happen with MK12 or a one.
To double sales again? Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Just the just what he's seen from social media numbers.
Sure.
And he said, yeah, I realize you can only gauge so much out of that. But I mean, it's a competitive fighting game market this year. I don't think we'll ever see a fighting game market as competitive ever again. When you have Street Fighter that just came out and seems to have really good reviews and people are having a really good time with Street Fighter.
Yeah, I've watched like several videos on Street Fighter 6 and it looks, I don't know really anything about fighting games, but it looks like a lot of fun.
I will wait till that's on discount, but I will be getting it. And then Tekken, which I've never played Tekken, but you talk to most like Evo or really good fighting game people.
Right.
They say that Tekken is the best pure fighting game out there.
Gotcha.
I think Mortal Kombat's, I mean, it depends. I think Mortal Kombat's the more known. If you talk about a fighting game, it's Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, right? And we could go back and forth which one's more known between the two.
Yeah.
Obviously, Street Fighter started it, but I think the MK name is such a big name now and its own property. And
well, part of it, like the controversy,
yeah,
helps so much.
Yeah, it did. All we know with this random Nintendo Direct that we keep on hearing different days from, like there's no, the Nintendo Direct is trending daily right now. Like I go on my Twitter feed and it's like, what's the number one trend today? Nintendo Direct. It's like, is it out soon? Is it out? Because you're wondering, like, will there be a new Nintendo Direct? Will that be where they announce a new console? We don't know.
Will they announce a new console? I doubt it. Right after Tears of the Kingdom?
Well, there's some thoughts too with Odyssey 2 or whatever the Mario game is going to be called.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do what they did for the Wii U, where that Zelda game was on.
Right.
That game was Breath of the Wild was on the Wii U. And no one knows that. I think there's a lot of people that don't even realize that Breath of the Wild was on the Wii U. But it was also on the Switch. So maybe this Mario sequel will still be on the Switch, but it will be whatever on the next console.
That's a tough one because the Wii U, the writing was on the wall for so long that the thing is like the Switch is one of the highest selling consoles of all time, like, or whatever, right? Like of any measure, it's been absolutely ridiculously well received. So I don't see them releasing a game for the end of the Switch and then releasing it for their brand new console that's supposed to be the new Switch.
Yeah.
I find that really hard to believe. If the Switch was a dud or Tears of the Kingdom was bad, maybe, but not right now.
The last big game is going to be the Pikmin game, I think.
Yeah, that would make sense to me. You're going to get tons of arcade indie games and remakes and stuff like that and stuff for the virtual console. But like in terms of AAA stuff, like the Metroid game that just came out was freaking amazing. Mm-hmm. Tears of the Kingdom was amazing. Pikmin's probably going to be amazing. Animal Kingdom was amazing. Animal Crossing, sorry.
It is a kingdom. Maybe that should be the next one's Animal Kingdom and you build your own castle and stuff. Man.
Just with slave labor?
I mean, I will, after the Switch, I will always buy a Nintendo console now.
Right.
The Switch is probably my favorite Nintendo console I maybe ever had, other than my Super Nintendo. I think Super Nintendo is a little bit higher than it, but this Switch is one of my favorite consoles I've ever had.
Yeah, if you buy a Switch, you're basically giving yourself access to 15 to 20 probably must play games, like, because you throw Bayonetta in there.
Yep.
Like there wasn't an F-Zero game. There should have been.
There hasn't been for a while.
You're getting Smash. You're getting Mario Kart, Mario Party,
Odyssey,
Zelda, Metroid,
Kirby.
Donkey Kong Freeze or whatever. Like, you're getting that stupid.
That was a Wii U game either, also.
Yeah. But you're just getting ridiculous, ridiculous amounts of access to those games. So, yeah, right? Like, we just keep talking about Mario titles. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. I mean, overall, Summer Games Fest, I think, is a fun idea. You know, E3 is gone, but I do kind of like, you know, you have this Games Fest. Jeff Keighley does this thing, has people come up there, do a few things. It's kind of nice not maybe to have the hustle and bustle of what E3 was for some of these companies, and they can kind of do their own separate presentation. on their time when they want to do it. I do think that works for them as gaming becomes a bigger and bigger market. And, you know, as much as I'm probably never going to buy a Microsoft like Xbox ever again. I don't know why I said it in that order, but I'm never going to buy an Xbox probably again because I just don't have an interest in some of the games. But I do like that they had a good Summer Games Fest because it's good for the industry if Xbox can find some first-party games that work for them and keep them competitive in a market with Sony and Nintendo.
So I don't know if it's actually about the console wars anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
I think at this point in time, with the way that gaming has evolved into its own industry, I would love to know the percentage of gamers that only have one console. Because I imagine it's small. I imagine it's really, really small.
Well, for a second, you are not on the next gen side, but in the previous side, you had an Xbox and a PlayStation.
And a 3DS.
And the 3DS. Yeah. And well, you look at Adam and I. Adam and I are both Switch and Sony. And most people I know are Switch and Sony.
But I think we need to get away from the idea of like exclusives. But talk about the strengths of these different companies. So like Nintendo has the strengths of being innovative and at the same time being family friendly.
Yeah.
Sony has the strength of great hardware and they've bought up some really, really strong developers.
Mm-hmm.
But Xbox's strength is its cloud stuff and its PC stuff. And also who they've bought allow Xbox Game Pass to be far and away the most superior service. And Xbox Live as a service is just it's just freaking fantastic how good it is.
They changed the industry.
And so it kind of, I don't think it depends really on what games you want to play. Because as we've seen, like even God of War, the 2018 version, came to PC. Uncharted's come to PC. And some of those games have had better launches than others on the PC. But
and we get the pleasure of non-PC gamers of getting to see all the mods on YouTube.
But gone are the days of like, you can't really have one or the other. So it's just a matter of what kind of gamer are you? If you're someone who doesn't have a lot of time or doesn't want to play a lot of long games or want to play a story-driven games, get an Xbox and get Game Pass. And you and your kids have access to like 1,000 different games or something like that. Plus you're getting all the Bethesda stuff. And if Microsoft does release stuff and you do have Game Pass, you basically guarantee to get it day one. Mm-hmm. Halo Infinite was a Game Pass day one game.
It's crazy.
It's what you pay like $12 a month for that. That's ridiculous. Now you're not playing God of War, Last of Us, Uncharted right away, but for some people that time doesn't matter. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, PS Plus kind of did a lot of their users dirty. They started off with all those titles on there when the PS5 launched. Like, hey, like, yeah, we're like Xbox Game Pass, and then they took them all away now, more or less.
So, yeah, oh, exactly.
What? I wanted these.
I'm almost approaching Microsoft, or we'll call it Xbox, as a service.
Yeah.
You buy the box to get the service, and PlayStation is not built like that.
No, and they don't need to be because of what they have for first party.
Exactly.
They can do, right?
So they're all different. Like they don't even, I think back in the day, like in the 360 PS3 version, they wanted to occupy the same spaces all the time, right? Because how many reviews did we watch on IGN back in the day where they talked about what game looked better on PlayStation or Xbox and it was the same game, right? Yeah, we don't hear that
as much anymore now.
We literally never, ever hear that. Like, it's not even important anymore because the technology is relatively similar.
The debate I have among my friends right now that you're not privy to, it's not that you don't care, it's just not for you. With the AEW game coming out, there's the big debate around a good majority of us is, do I go with the Switch version so I have the portability for it? Or do I go with the PS5 because I know it's going to run better?
Sure.
And the big thing is, like, will the Switch be able to, you know, make it run okay? Because there's been games the Switch has had and it sucked. So yes. I know a lot of people that are literally waiting for the IGN and GameSpot reviews to see how the Switch runs AEW. To see what system they buy it on.
Are they doing like cross-platform plays? Are they doing
that's
like,
the other thing I'm trying to find out too, because
online
I want it on the Switch because I want the convenience of it.
Yeah.
But I also want to play with my friends and play on, because it's the game you definitely want to play online with your friends, right?
100%. Yeah. It's a party game.
It's yeah. And like there's literally like Mario Party games in there, like I sent to you in this in our group chat. So if I need to find out that, like the questions that a lot of gamers for that game, particularly for AEW, want to have, they haven't been fully answered yet. We have the rosters and we see some game modes, but as far as like crossplay and the performance on the Switch, we haven't heard those yet. And those are like the big questions I'm waiting to hear on.
Mm.
So it's a fun time. I'm happy the Summer Games Fest happened. I really hope this Nintendo Direct happens. And, unfortunately, like you didn't see a lot of the mainly indie games, but that I think that happens a lot more at PAX, it seems like.
Yeah. You get like 41 minute trailers all just shoved down your throat with like cel shaded graphics. So
yeah. I'm still excited for Animal Well. And I think that's the cool thing about Donkey doing Big Mode is I probably would never have heard of a game named Animal Well if it wasn't for a guy like Donkey that has the influence on the video game community. And then you get to see and get to learn a little bit more about Animal Well and some of the games that he's even profiled at times in his like game reviews or PAX reviews or whatever to showcase off some of those. And I think he's kind of not trying to get in Donkey's mind or anything like that, but he's kind of thinking the same game mode you are. And look, that Lord knows that guy plays more video games than us in our entire lifetime
combined. Yeah.
And he just seems like he just wants to have fun. And a lot of those indie games are giving it to him because these other games are just redundant, same thing over and over for him.
Yeah. Go to the tower, turn it on, go to the other part of the map.
Yeah.
And that's why I like a lot of his
reviews called the hold up a minute games.
Yeah. Yeah. Keeping you from progress to like go explore this place isn't really fun anymore.
Games
are best when they're innovative. We talked a lot about this, like in the difference between PS3 and PS4, that or the seventh generation and the eighth generation, was just like how good things can look and how big things can be. Look how big our map is. Look how many things to do there are on our map. But in reality, the game, those kind of action games never got transformed. They just got bigger.
Yeah.
And everyone's always been kind of looking for this next generation to give us new and exciting types or forms of games. And right now we don't really see it. Like I just played Halo Infinite, and Halo Infinite was an open world shooting game where you have to kill everybody in this little group. And then guess what? You have to press a button. Anytime that I wasn't killing aliens, I was pushing and holding a button to make my character push a button.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't solve anything. I didn't rearrange anything. I didn't really go anywhere. I just pushed buttons. And so it was a button pushing simulator with some shooting on the side. And that's the sad thing is like first person shooters, I guess, you know, Halo's kind of been a lore focused first person shooter, but like, I don't really know what the difference between Halo on the original Xbox and Halo Infinite was gameplay wise.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. I mean, I think it's one of the brilliance of a game like Uncharted 4, right? That's been profiled in that one level, right? You go from platformer to puzzle game to RPG for a second to action adventure at the end. You hit like four different genres in like an hour time for that one level when he's in the clock tower, then he gets dragged by the Jeep.
Yeah.
Like that's four different type of video game genres all combined into one. Which makes me, that's why I think Naughty Dog is the best developer that there is, and why I appreciate it more, because they're so rare when they bring out a game, and because they make sure that every single set matters and you're having these different experiences compared to, like you mentioned at the top, the over and over Red Dead level thing.
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, we're seeing it kind of a Starfield, right? Where it's just like, we're going to try to do this thing where we go to different planets and have this wide world and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, I hope it works. I hope they succeed, because it's good for everybody if it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks so much. Everyone have a great rest of summer, unless there's a Nintendo Direct or something. But when Mortal Kombat comes out and then Spider-Man comes out, We will have more here on Electronic Enhancement. It's been fun bringing these back to you. It's the comments of bringing it back were overwhelming, so I do appreciate everyone that was very happy to see Electronic Enhancement come back. So we'll try to bring a few more of those out. Until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the game. Yeah, cheers.